No one's believing that I'm the hot 23-year-old secretary of, like, an older man.
I don't know who you are.
Mr. Johnson. I got your papers.
But you went to 1920s America.
That's what the I'm telling you. That's what the fuck I'm telling you. I can't do it.
You could give some kind of Maggie Gyllenhaal energy, though.
Mr. Johnson.
I can do... I can't do
femme. What was that voice?
I'm telling you, I just haven't had enough coffee.
We're rolling.
Rolling with the homies.
Don't you dare. You got to do this when you say it.
Rolling with the homies.
Hey everybody, welcome to
another episode of Tea Time with Raven and Miranda. Today,
Nothing.
You know, rolling with the homies always makes me want to go to just for the taste of it, Diet Coke. Anyway,
nothing
today on the podcast, no, it doesn't. But today on the podcast, we have someone who doesn't roll with the homies or drink Diet Coke, I don't think. But maybe they do, and we're going to find out.
Oh, they roll with the homies.
They definitely roll with the homies.
Yeah, they definitely
drink a lot of Diet Coke.
And they drink a lot of Diet Coke. So it's ER Fight Master, everybody.
Rolling with the homies!
Thank you, and I'm here to represent Diet Coke.
Yes! Yes,
sponsored,
they are.
Non-sponsored. Yeah.
No sponsorship, it just means the world to me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Diet Coke. ER. I want to know if you're aware of the fact that people of all genders just fawn over you.
Oh, that's nice.
Did you know this? Did you know that there's this thing about you? Because
they
have very straight friends who are like, oh my God, ER is the hottest, the this, the that. And I was like, wow, I wonder if they're aware.
It's nice.
They know.
I think, you know, I do think I've got a good blend that makes it just, like, confusing enough, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I love that for you.
It's just confusing enough.
The maybe goes real high.
Yeah, because, you know, when you'll hear, like, straight women do that thing of, like, I wish I was gays, but the two, but I could never be with someone who had a pussy. But I never get that.
No.
It's like they kind of full on forget.
What? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Dude.
It's nice.
Yeah.
That's hard to get.
Yeah. That's a bridge gap.
That's a
right
great
there.
Poker
yeah.
hand.
And I feel blessed because I just, when that particular phrase happens, you do want to kill yourself.
Yeah, you do.
It's so horrible to hear out loud.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry about that. Yeah. All those problems.
Avoided that.
Well done.
Thank you.
Job well done.
But the bodyguard energy that people say you have.
Thank you.
Is this something that you had as a kid? Like, were you just posted up at the volleyball team like, bro, come at me? Or, like, did this evolve into a swag that you're like, nah, this is just who I am now? Like, what were the evolutions of ER?
I think that any swag that I have comes from not understanding that I had swag.
Oh, it's the best kind.
It's really nice. It's super grounded. And so when people do bring it up, I am like... But like I was actually a very violent child. And I played a ton of sports. And I had a very... I think my dad instilled this like ethical code in me that like you protect other people. Mm. And so I have like a very violent ethics that's like... I'll kill for my people. And that was in sports. I was always a team captain. And it wasn't always because I was the best, but it was always because my coach could be like, yeah, like Sarah's in trouble. And I'd be like, Sarah's in trouble. And it's number three. Great. Like 5 seconds later, you're hearing the worst whistle of your life.
Oh, my God.
Like, she's down. She's down.
walking away like, where's my lollipop, bro?
Yeah.
I killed that.
Uh-oh. Was that my fifth foul? Yeah. And now I just have girlfriends, so it's just like it's all transferred over.
What was the worst injury you've ever inflicted on someone?
I am sorry about this one. I did kind of chop a girl.
Okay, wait, explain what a chop is,
like,
please.
That looked like you
in
had a
knife.
Yeah. It kind of felt like that. So it was, she was shooting a three-pointer. We'd been kind of going back and forth all game. Mm-hmm. And then she was shooting a three, and I was like, you know, I went up to block it.
Okay. There was quotes around that block.
Yeah. Block, and I just kind of chopped her on the, and I got her.
Where?
Right.
Where?
Oh, you broke?
I was a bank. And I don't think I broke it, but she did go down. And that way that, like, you'll hear all the parents be like, no, no, they can't do that. Get them out of here. And you're like, did I?
It was the energy of the game.
Sorry, I guess I lost myself. But I do kind of think of it often, so I bet she was injured.
My wife pushed somebody off of the monkey bars.
That was a rumor, and that wasn't true. The most violent thing that I did was hit my sister over the head with a 9-iron. That was bad. The monkey bars was a rumor, though.
I'm feeling better about the chop.
Yeah.
The 9-iron's intense.
I was a violent little kid, apparently,
too. You hit your sister on purpose?
Well, yes.
The breath was crazy.
Okay, first of all, let's talk about age really quickly.
Okay, yeah, let's start there.
I was 8. You know that game Whack-A-Mole?
Yes.
Okay. So we had this Beauty and the Beast tent, and my sister's head, I remember this so vividly. Her head was, she was walking around in the tent. The tent was plastic, so her head was pushing up against it, and it was moving back and forth, and I was like, ooh. Whack-a-mole. Like, I literally thought
she was
that.
Begging for it.
She was literally what she was
asking for it.
Yeah, no, I'm hearing that.
Yeah. Thank you.
You guys are a mess.
ER gets it. My dad used to practice his swing in the driveway, and he left one of his clubs against the garage, and I was like, yes, wow. Getting you.
Wow.
Bam. That was bad. My father me do this. And he was in the kitchen. I heard him yell, and then the back door opens, and he chased me down the driveway until I was at the dead end of the gate. And that was the first time my father hit me. It was intense. But my sister's fine, I think. I mean, she's.
How you think?
There could be.
Have you checked in?
Yeah. I called recently to make sure that she was doing well and that they're like.
Well, and who has more emotional damage? You were hurt from this.
Probably
you were the one that got spanked by an adult.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She didn't even see it coming.
I'm not feeling bad for her. That was a surprise.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like, hello. And now I call and check in and make sure that they're like turning her over regularly. Right. Getting bed sores.
Totally.
It's going
and
well.
And she seems happy. She's comfortable. Yeah, she's calm.
Exactly.
She's very calm.
You would know. You know those moments on Grey's Anatomy when you have to like do things like that with patients? You get it.
I'm going
to
stop you right here.
Okay. Yeah. Any green caps?
And then, I don't know what color cap I wore. I can't remember. And I know for a fact I don't. Well, maybe I did a surgery. I think I did one surgery.
Did you really?
Yeah, I think I did one. I really can't remember. We were in a surgery room for one of them, but for the most part, I did research because I was curing a disease.
There you go, curing.
Yeah. Which was either Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. And I
either
can't
one.
Remember.
You got to cure them both, though.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Once the script is in there and it's acted, it's gone.
Period.
I can't hold on to this.
Yeah. Are you that way with your music?
No, the music's in there all the time. It haunts me.
Mm. When's the next album?
It's coming.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm working on it now. If this is in any time of the Blocktober frame, I should have something coming out soon.
Ooh.
Unless something goes terribly wrong, and that's the T.
That only way it can go wrong is if you're underneath a Beauty and the Beast tent and my wife has a 9-iron. That's the only way it can go wrong.
And that would have been my fault.
So, I blame you.
Except I feel like you would have gotten me back. Maybe worse than...
She would have chopped the shit out of you.
I would have.
Yeah. I don't doubt it. I
have a real lack of... That thing that happens after I experience physical pain is all darkness. There's nothing left in there. And I have a fight to the death. Yeah. I love it. I just enter like a beautiful, joyful void. I lived in like Amsterdam for a while, and there's so much ruckus behavior in Amsterdam, and so you'd just be at a bar, and for some reason, like, I remember one night, a guy asked
me
for a cigarette.
The joy on your face right now is crazy.
I went back in time. A guy asked me for a cigarette, and I didn't have one, and he slapped me in the face, and I don't recall a lot, except that I was taken out of the bar in the air.
Like, there you go. Yeah. That's the only way to be taken out of the bar after being slapped.
And it's a fond memory.
The
it's
joy.
A fond memory. There's no trauma there. I'm like, oh, my God.
How many times have you been arrested?
I've never been arrested.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
You don't get caught.
I've never been arrested. I've been pulled over 8 fucking times.
Ooh.
I gotten in plenty of fights and I've never been arrested.
There you go. Goals.
Thank you.
Goals.
You need to do a show with, or a movie with Tom Hardy.
Ooh.
It's so crazy you say that. I never watch TV anymore, but for some reason my best buddy wanted to watch Mobland.
Wasn't it the best?
My God.
Genius.
My God, it was so good. Genius, I watched it with my buddy, and then a day later I like brought it home to my girlfriend. I was like, I know you get overwhelmed by this stuff, but... And by episode 3, and she like watches violence like this, by episode 3 she was like, and he had to die. He had to die because he wasn't loyal. And I was like, yeah.
That show got us good.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for season 2. It is such a good show.
Yeah.
Helen Mirren, I mean, oh my gosh. Also, I think it's one of the best things that Pierce Brosnan has ever done.
100%. 100%.
Oh, and
the
Tom
guy
Hardy's
that plays
just...
the other mob boss, like
genius, oh, yeah. The one whose son dies. Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, he was really good.
I loved him.
Yeah.
Everybody in there is actually good.
It's really, really, really good.
Nobody did a bad job.
No one did. Okay, I want to move on a little bit. I want to go back and move on a little bit to family.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to talk about family really fast. You went to a place called Rocky Mountain Fiddle Camp. Mm-hmm. It's the fiddle part for me.
She had to read it with her whole finger.
I just wanted to make sure.
Cross that line.
Fiddle. Is this?
This is an interrogation.
Yeah, exactly.
Should we be worried?
I did go to Rocky Mountain Fiddle Camp with my mother and my brother. I can't deny that.
Okay.
And it's a week-long camp in the Rocky Mountains, and everyone plays an instrument for about 12 hours a day.
Okay, great.
Oh, yeah. I was just worried that love of music started for you.
No, this is a lifetime of it. It leads you somehow to Rocky Mountain Fiddle Camp. And it's like 12 hours a day. You wake up at like 8 o'clock in the morning. Let's be honest, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. And then from 7 to 7, you're in classes for like the cello and the fiddle and the guitar and like whatever the fuck else, upright bass. And then at 8 o'clock, they bring in some like great folk musician or gypsy jazz musician, whatever, to like play a set. And then you do that for a full week. And everybody there is either like elderly... Or like mid-40s neurodivergent.
In your audience.
Yeah. And then 5 years old and better at whatever they're doing than you'll ever be at whatever you've ever done.
Right.
That's fair. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to go 1 year, it's a party. I did have to kind of like escape one night to go get alcohol because it's...
You can't fiddle under the influence.
It was so ridiculous when I got there and I realized that we're not supposed to have alcohol there. It's we're fiddling.
Yeah, you need the liquor to fiddle better.
Yeah.
To fiddle better. So what is your instrument? What was your instrument?
I did the cello that week.
Mm.
Yeah. So how many instruments do you play?
I play a few of them. And I'm not sure that I would say I'm like... I'm definitely not a savant at any of the instruments that I play, but I think as like a songwriter... I've played a ton of instruments over a long period of time. Mm. So then when it comes to like writing an album, I can at least compose whatever it is I need. And then if I really want something more complex, I'll have like a session player come in and blow its ass out. But like for the most part, on all the songs I've released, I've been able to play everything.
I love
Have you
that.
Learn how to blow ass out at Fiddle Family Farm Camp?
They don't let you blow ass at the Fiddle Family Farm, which is why I didn't go back.
Got it. You're like, no alcohol, no blowing it out its ass.
Yeah.
Bye, Mom.
I'm
bye,
over bro. This
There's
shit.
So many rules.
I hate those rules. The trombone players might have something to say about that. But
I don't play trombone.
No.
No?
But I did just buy one off the street.
Why?
I don't know. I blacked out.
This is after before violence.
Exactly.
I was like in my car, I was going past, there was like a trombone and then like a pile of clothing. He sold it to me for like $50 and I had a trombone.
I'd buy it, put it on your wall.
Exactly.
Why not?
It's in the house.
Okay.
That's nice.
I'll figure it out.
It's a relic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not fair. A relic.
Where did you grow up?
Ohio.
And you went to private school?
Yeah.
Seven Hills School.
Yeah.
How many hills were there? Were there actually seven around it?
I'm always been a little confused by that because it's like the Seven Hills of Rome, right? And then there's like technically the Seven Hills of Cincinnati, which I didn't find this out until...
Cincinnati has hills?
Cincinnati is maybe the only place in Ohio that has hills.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So nice. We have that.
Cute.
And we have that. And I didn't know it was a great school. It was like 60 kids a grade. I was there from K through 12.
Oh, wow.
And I go back like every year, every other year to teach the kids improv. Wait, pause. The hot guy that works for Kat
Williams?
In Mobland?
Yes, yes.
was in the grade beneath me at Seven Hills School.
Wait, the Hawkeye that works for Cap?
Yeah, Alex Fine.
Oh my God, in Mobland.
Yeah.
I'll get her a picture.
Why can't I think of him?
He's so hot. He's also Cassie's husband.
Yeah.
Guys, wait, why am I blinking so hard?
You'll recognize him right away. And he was always beautiful and he was always very sweet. He's a
great
guy.
Know there were non-British people in that show.
There's that one American guy and he comes in and he's like, cat call. Yeah.
Yes.
That's
Alex. Okay, everything. Funny. I know exactly Emmett? Who you're talking about.
No, that guy.
I know. He's the one who comes up. He shows up at the car
poker.
Place and they're like, who is
this guy?
Yeah. I totally remember. Wait.
Oh, Alex Fine.
Mm-hmm. And he is fine.
Look
at that cutie patootie.
Yeah.
Oh, you went to school with a Moblander?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Awesome. And he's married to Cassie, which is like, you're...
Careful.
She's in love with Cassie.
Mm-hmm. I understand. That was a big one for me.
Oh, I'm in love. Oh, you're talking about me?
Mm-hmm.
Your love for Cassie.
I get that.
I'm in love with her.
I didn't realize that when I was watching Cassie and her husband walk into court for the Diddy trial, that was him.
I told mm-hmm. her to be careful. I told mm-hmm. her to be careful. And she chose violence today.
Did you go to high school with anyone else cool? And elementary?
P. Diddy and Cassie, if you won't believe that.
Both of them? Yeah. You went to Walgreens with P. Diddy. You didn't go to high school with Cassie.
No, I don't know. I haven't kept up with anybody.
Nobody?
I'm not that dedicated.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
I kept up with people from middle school.
One person really? For me.
One person? Yeah. You have more than one person.
That I've kept up with? Mm-mm. Andy Lawrence, by default.
Because I love you, Andy.
And Josie. Those are two people.
Chrissy, Lakia, Chet. That's
it. Did you date a lot?
I dated somebody at a... this always sounds suspicious, but you have to remember I was closeted. I dated someone at another high school that I played basketball with on like one of those traveling basketball teams.
Okay, so since we're talking about dating a little bit, I just want to tell you my situation with Cassie.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to go back a little bit. I was at a club once.
Yeah.
Okay. And she was sitting across the room. Her head was shaved. It was freshly shaved right when it started.
Mm-hmm.
She's so tall.
Is she really?
She was very tall. Well, I'm 5'2" and a half, so.
Oh, so she was like 5'5".
Yeah, she's like 5'3". Raven.
I'm getting
like
a call.
You're like 5'1" on a good day.
I'm getting a call. Go on.
Thank you, ER. Let me live in my short king stance, okay?
Okay.
And she was standing there, and she was a little tipsy, and she was just partying, and my lesbian brain went crazy. I said, do I invoke Rockefeller Jay-Z swag? Do I come in as the I don't know what I'm doing yet because I haven't figured out my entire gender conformityness? Is she okay with that? 3, do I walk in as a celebrity and be like, yo, what up? I'm Raven Simone. Like, I didn't know which one to put on, right? And I bring this back around because closeted, all of that.
I'm hoping for 1 and 3.
Thank you.
Like
I would have gone with Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Personally, I was thugging out.
Yeah.
The day. Anyway, how was your journey within yourself growing up in Cincinnati? So I grew up in Atlanta on everyone's screen. So my journey into my masculine, my journey into my lesbianism was behind closed doors and copied what I saw on television.
I just want to let you know really quickly that you could have 100% asked that question without explaining the Cassie.
But I wouldn't have liked it as much.
I just want you to know that.
Babe. Yeah, I wouldn't have liked it as much.
You feel some kind of way about it? No, she can totally be your hall pass. We're good. It's fine. After
do you
answer this question, though?
I think so.
After you answer this question, I want to know about your hall pass, okay? Just putting it out there.
Okay, wait. So how did I come to understand my, like, gender performance in living in Ohio?
Living in Ohio, yeah.
I think that it was so, like, it was the 90s and early 2000s in Ohio, which, you know, I will say I think that we're starting to enter, like, an early 2000s vibe right now. Where I kind of remember that as, like, a very racist, like, very loaded time.
Mm-hmm.
And there were... It was so specifically like the culture was like about cutting people down.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like we've kind of wrapped back around. And it made me think more recently about I grew up in a place where I didn't see any other gay people, and so I didn't know that I was gay. You know, it didn't even feel like this violent erasure of my identity. It was that I actually didn't have any access to it. And the only way that I had any access to, like, the, even the terminology is when we are making fun of other people. Like, I knew if we're making fun of my gym teacher, it's because she looks like a lesbian. And if we're making fun of this guy, this woman's husband, it's because he's lighting his loafer. So it was like, it was the equivalent of, like, either being... you're not good looking enough, or you have some kind of mental illness, or you're not cool. So I was like, well, I feel like I'm a cool guy. Like, I don't relate to this at all. And then I met my girlfriend, and the thing that I'm grateful about is also the lack of language. So it was like these, like, two truths, because when I was starting to explore things physically with my girlfriend, I didn't know what anything was called. So there was no checkpoints. Mm-hmm. There was, like, nothing to do. There was no base to reach. Mm-hmm. And we were doing it in complete secrecy. And, like, everything was very, like, protected by each other. We're not telling anyone. There's no risk of the rumor mill, because we felt like we understood that what we were doing was dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was all guided by pure pleasure. Mm-hmm. And so I think that when I have now become older and I have the community and I have the visibility and I do have the language, the thing that I keep from that time is the pleasure of, like, I'm actually so grateful I didn't grow up in a time, but I'm grateful I didn't grow up like my girlfriends did in high school, where it was like we have these bullet points of, like, hand job and blow job. And then everybody finds out the next day. I didn't do that, and that's still
God, that was not my middle school, yo.
Yeah, it's hard, man.
All the bases.
Yeah, my middle school was ratchet.
And I've always felt bad for girls for that. Like, and especially now that we're, like, you know, older, I'm like, these are little girls, and they are all being told, like, well, you have to do this thing or you're going to be a loser. And then they do the thing, and that thing gets put online, and you're like, whoa, God. I'm like, you know, my partner has a queer kid. And every day I'm like, thank you, God, because that kid is just having such a different experience than a lot of their classmates. Yeah. And I feel relief. Like, being gay is the best thing that ever happened to me.
I would agree. For me, too. Babes, do you feel being a ninja is the best thing that ever happened to you?
A ninja lesbian? Yeah, for sure. It's great. No, I honestly wouldn't say it's the best thing that ever happened to me, because I didn't have – there wasn't ever energy really around it. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a really privileged place and space, because I didn't have to really think about it. It was like I just fell into something with somebody.
Oops, fell.
And then I was like, oh, what's this? You know, there. Uh-huh. I didn't have to be worried about something being dangerous or needing to maintain secrecy. Or, I mean, my first relationship with a girl, it was in secret because of her situation. But for me, it was very much like, we'll figure it out. And I'm here, and I got you, and it's okay, and blah, blah, blah. So I know for you, you've talked about it.
Secret.
Being a secret, but also feeling like it's your superpower in ways.
Hell yeah.
And I feel like the things that I actually relate to more in my experience that built resilience and character and made me have to lean into superpower was more from a space of the kind of chaos I grew up in my household.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the things where I had to shift my perspective really quickly, become a more adult, like at 7, even though I was hitting my sister over the head at 8.
That's, you know, adult-like. Just,
yeah, you know. So
yeah, some adults, for sure.
That's kind of my thing. But hall pass.
Yeah, let's do our hall passes.
Mm. Apparently you already slept with yours.
Congratulations.
Who is it?
Mm.
Damn. secrets are no fun. Secrets are for everyone on Tea Time.
I don't know that I have a hall pass. My hall pass, okay, I'm be honest with you. And my gal knows this. There is one gal on the internet that looks exactly like my gal, but she deadlifts like 400 pounds.
Sick.
And I am such a slut for those tiny women that are just squares of muscle, and then there's a big square here, and then their legs are so big. Like, I feel like Pete Davidson standing next to like Kim Kardashian, you know what I mean? Just like staring down at these little like weightlifters while I kind of look like Skeletor. That's 100% the dynamic I'm always going for. So if my gal got blasted off Earth for a minute and she was like, I'm going to space, I don't know if it's going to be 4 years or 40, do you? I'd be hitting up those gym girlies so hard, I'd have to delete my whole phone.
Do you know Tia Toomey?
Of course I do.
Yeah, they do.
Of course I do. Of course I do. And Sarah Sigmund's daughter.
Let's go!
Yeah.
What about the competitive eating girl who also is the bodybuilder does the hot dogs?
Yeah.
ER, you might have your mind blown.
Let me show you.
Yeah, please, please, because I think I am going to need context.
Yeah, they're, well, she's wild. I don't even know how to put this into words.
It's Shits, right? Shits. What's her name? Shit something?
Oh, that her sucks. Name is not Shit something.
It's
Shit Girl.
Just do, it's Shit Girl, definitely. Just do like competitive shit British girl. Eater hot dogs and it should come up.
Yeah. All of that.
Is your girl the girl that we met when we saw you out?
Yes.
Okay. She's lovely. Yeah,
thank you.
And she could be a bodybuilder in another life, I'm sure.
She's so fucking strong.
She looks strong.
I just was looking at her. She was standing next to a lamp last night. And she was like, and she was talking about her feelings. And of course, I was listening. But her little deltoid was just all like striated because of the lamp, and I used to be like, feelings, look at that, like I really like the muscle on them.
Do you think the fascination with muscle or the attraction to muscle is your lack of muscle?
I'm such a little
I'm
rope
a
boy.
Dang.
Yeah, I'm all ropes, that is true. I'm a series of ropes, like, kind of wound around bone that keeps them all together.
Yeah, you're just fashion bone.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you. I feel fine about it, but I do like the little 5'4"s that are so strong because there's something so, like...
little 5'4"s.
I, like, ironic about it almost. You know what I mean? Yeah. That they're just like, you're not the boss of me.
Oh, you like being told what to do. I like that. I found her. I can't find a picture of her body. But, like, this is not
what the fuck is this?
Well, she's a competitive eater, but she also lifts big time, so...
Are y'all feeders? Is this what's going on here?
Yeah.
She feeds me.
Yum, yum, yum.
no, so there's this whole group of...
better than
Wait,
this.
Can I find you my gal?
Yes, please.
There's this whole group of people
Insta
on the
what?
Internet
Insta.
That... There's this whole group of people on the internet that eat a ton because they're massive lifters. So, like, she will eat, you know, these full English breakfasts and, like, 75 donuts, and she eats these hot dogs, which is clearly, like, very whatever gets people attracted to it all. But she'll go into the gym and, like, bench press hundreds of pounds, and they all have this bod. It's wild.
It's wild, you guys.
It's okay. And here we go. That's my girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You would love it.
Uh-huh.
That's how the girl looks.
Oh, yeah. All ass.
Oh, nice. That's pretty.
All ass. So much thigh.
Oh, she's so strong.
The thigh dripping over the knee.
Ooh, that one, babe.
Yeah.
She has a pretty face, though, too.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And she's still feminine.
Yeah.
And, like, it's really
there
nice.
Are some of those women who end up just...
I have another
just...
girl for you. That's a moment.
Okay.
Ooh, she's crazy.
Look at all
she
these
She does a
strong
lot of calisthenics.
Girls.
Okay.
Yeah.
You
we can
me.
Move on.
Should we
Let's
shout her
on.
Should we shout her out, though? It's Kelly Matthews.
It is Kelly Matthews.
Kelly Matthews! Let me see that eye.
We like your body, Kelly.
Big fan.
Babes,
Big
what's
fan.
Your hall pass?
Yeah, what's my hall pass? It would be a nice evening in... what is? You know? Who?
who is your hall pass?
This is a hard one for me. I don't know.
Anyone that, you know, is... My wife has... Let me help her right now while she's thinking. My wife has a... type. If you look in her history, we all look the same.
Oh my gosh.
Curly hair.
You know who it would have to
but
be?
Taller. I'm the shortest one.
It would be Charlie Hunnam. It would be Charlie Hunnam.
What the fuck?
She said, nuh-uh. She said, you're not going to have me pegged today.
Okay. If it's a woman.
Leo.
If it's a woman.
Just can't never let me just have it for a minute, Leo.
But I'm trying to be honest.
Yeah, we and know. We know honestly, Charlie Hunnam.
It would be Charlie Hunnam because...
Well, that's everybody, I think. So you have to pick someone that it's... Everyone okay, agrees okay. with that.
Period. We saw him airport.
You don't have to tell your Charlie Hunnam story just to tell who you like.
Cassie and Charlie Hunnam, okay.
Yeah. Saw him in the airport.
Matches.
I looked over, clocked him, and I was like, whoa. Okay?
Mm-mm.
You clocked him
You didn't
first?
Do that. I clocked him first. She turned around. She went like this, beat red. Oh, God, it's Charlie Hunnam.
Because he was so good looking.
So pretty.
It kind of, like, took the air. And then, here's the thing. The man knows. He knows he has this power.
Of course.
And so we looked at him, made eye contact. He kind of smiled because we had our little puppy with us.
Oh, my God.
When he walked past us, he smiled at me and winked. And I literally, like, my knees. But I was like, what the fuck is that? That's the most annoying thing.
Then I was like, grab your bags. We got to go to your mom's house. Yeah. You're married already. We got to get out of here.
Oh, my God. He's just, it's one. Some people in this world have that. Ryan Gosling has that. And it's swag. Just a thing. It's a swag.
How'd you feel about that?
Well, my old straight self probably would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
My old bi self would have done the same thing. I'll say bi. I don't have anything. I'm not a jealous type of partner.
Wow.
I'm not jealous.
Are you jealous?
Mm. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you get any kind of jealousy from me, which is literally that
so
much,
rare.
It's from a girl named Jade.
Oh, that's so crazy. See, it's so...
Is this an ex?
No. This is
What's
not.
Going on?
This is
tell
not.
Me everything. This is fun. I like this.
This is.
You live up to the name. You're like tea time. We're about to tell you.
Tell you all
We're
the
using
tea.
Names.
I mean, I'll tell.
No. I am. Okay. I get jealous of people.
That's
I get jealous.
So weird,
baby. It's not weird. You know, I've always had a thing. It was that day she opened the door. I was like, "What are you doing here? I'm not a fan." It was a moment.
It's so weird.
Oh yeah, exactly, Laura.
What did Laura say?
Who's Jade? Exactly, Laura.
Oh.
Anyway. I literally don't have that much jealousy in my bones, but when someone that looks like her type comes in and tries to dominate her or protect her or something like that, that irritates me more. If she's flirty, I'm not tripping. For some
you
reason.
You get more jealous on the masculine energy of it. Because that's what Jade was.
Obviously. I'm not worried about no femme.
Uh-uh.
Come on.
No,
so
ridiculous.
When someone protects me, yeah, because that's hot. I like that energy.
See what I mean?
Course, yeah.
Unacceptable.
That's because I like it more, too.
You're not going to be kidnapped by a femme.
At all.
Yeah.
She's going to top them all
and
day.
Yeah, yeah.
When there's, like, bodyguard energy or that.
Calm down, lady.
I'm not.
ER. Get out of here.
No. I don't like white people, so it doesn't really matter, other than Charlie Hunnam, so it's fine.
Yo, I'm dead.
Anyway.
Welcome to tea time, y'all.
Welcome to tea time. So I want to know
what you're thinking.
Yes.
No, I'm kind of liking it. It's like, it's all very, I mean, to me, it's like kind of fun talking in this way because I'm like, the minute I became like a public figure, I just stopped giving like any kind of real detail about anything forever. And you two are really like, and here's the middle name of the person and here's the address. And there is a little freedom that's like, it's kind of fun.
Yeah. It's worked for and against us. I am also a really open book. Like, I would sit here and tell you all about Jade, no problem. And then if it didn't work, we would obviously, like,
wait,
edit
how do
it
you
out.
Know Jade?
So I met Jade because Raven's friend Carlicia became friends with Jade. And
okay.
Hey, Jade.
Okay.
Okay, so are you
already
mad at
done?
Me? Yeah.
Wait. No, I got one more. So how was Jade protective? How were you like, what the fuck is this?
Why are you like that with Jade, babe? For real.
No, because there is something. You're not mad for no reason.
I'm not mad for no reason.
We know. We always know. We always
we
know.
We always know.
Why would I be mad at Jade, babe?
You say you don't like white people. Yours was Charlie Hunnam.
I said,
except
right
for
guy?
Men. All of her
yeah,
men
yeah, yeah, yeah.
have been white.
And this is the hot, the biker guy with the mustache.
For sure.
Especially, yeah, okay. Looks yeah. just like this.
Sons of Anarchy. This is what really gets me. That is like the biggest turn on.
Not this thing.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah,
right here.
I love, yes, mm-hmm. yes. This or, happens or in this utero. It's just a form it's, of a.
This is weird. This, great this birth one right defect. Here. Works for everybody.
I know. Everyone does
this
look good this way.
This is the new bi symbol.
Everyone
100%.
This is the new bi symbol.
I can't even do it. My fingers
maybe this,
are...
the bi. This is the bi
I'm just
symbol.
Trying to do what ER is doing.
Listen, this is a horrible...
This rules.
This is so cute. This
I'm
rules.
I'm dead, you.
Dream roll. Your dream role is to play a gentleman? In My... Gentleman Jack?
Oh, did you that'd see be that? Fun.
So good.
I didn't see that. Uh-uh. Oh. I don't really watch shit. I'm not... I'm being real with you.
You should watch Gentleman Jack.
Okay, I'll do that. I think I really did feel jealous of... I felt jealous of the actor in Mobland who was playing the other mob boss. Mm-hmm. That just was like a dream role. You know, someone who's like kind of super psychotic but charming. Like, in the ability to be like really smooth and then fly off the handle. Like,
yeah.
A lot of the roles in that show were so dynamic. And the levels were so insane that they had to reach. And I'm like, that would be true fun. And I love how much comedy was in that.
A lot of comedy.
You know, like,
so much.
A pure drama that's being played so hard that it's coming out funny is fun for me. I think I'd love to play a cult leader.
You could do that.
I'd
see
love
that.
To play a cult leader.
Yeah.
I like, I'm fascinated by it.
I can see that.
I think that it's fun. I mean, I went through like a whole period of time where I was just like listening to a lot of books on tape about like various personality disorders that they like attribute to cult leaders. Mm-hmm. And there are all these things that I just think would be fun to play because I think about them now. You know, one of the, a joke that I have with my friend now is that, you know, if you're like dating a narcissist, one of the things that they'll do to you is they like kind of insist without saying the words is that everybody knows this about you. Mm-hmm. The thing that they're talking about with you right now, or with you being mean to them, you being negative, you interrupting, they might not say these exact words, but they're going to make you think that everyone else knows this about you and everyone's been talking. And mm-hmm. it's like little shit like that where I'm like, it's fascinating to me. So I think it'd be fun to play.
Yeah.
We have a list of 100+ cult movies if you'd like us to send those to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah, we yes. love a cult doc.
They're
and
fun.
I would love to see you in that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think you
Nine
could
Perfect
really
Strangers.
Yeah.
Love that.
I wanted to do that. That's fun.
I can see that for you. I can also see a Moblandy, dark, twisty, fun role in that way.
Let me be evil.
Let me be my true self.
Let me be evil. Let me be evil. I think I've had a lot of fun playing like sweeter, benevolent people. And now I would like to play evil.
Yeah.
Do you feel, I hate to be this deep, but I just uh-huh. want to ask a question, cut it off if we need to. Do you feel that since you represent such a quote unquote new group mm-hmm. of humans that are showcasing that
yeah, yeah.
we are here on this planet, that you have to be careful of the roles you choose?
I think that that's always something that comes into consideration, but I think that that is actually in a way now pigeonholing us mm-hmm. where a lot of the, and you know what, I like write for TV too, so I know how hard it is to even try just to avoid these things, but like you put a non-binary character in and a lot of times they're the voice of reason, or they're explaining to you why you can't say that, or they're talking about their identity, and so we've been like, well, because we don't want them to play villains and they can't be the asshole and they can't do this. Well, and now what is the stereotype about non-binary people is that they're like pretentiously always telling you what you can't say.
Yeah.
So I think there does need to be
so true.
It's true. And so yeah. there you know, I think the thing that was great about Grey is beyond just it having like such a big reach was that I was also just there's like one episode where I talk about being non-binary and the rest of the time I'm just like being in love and doing science, and that's actually the reason that the role pushed, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't me coming in and being like, it's they them in this hospital.
Not the sneer afterwards.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like that, I don't want to see it. I don't want to be around anybody like that anyway. So I want to be able to use what I feel like I have built, which is I've been able to be on, you know, the pioneering end of like this form of representation. I've gotten to be one of the people that's mm-hmm. pushing that. And now I would like to just play so that everyone knows that we can just play.
I did a panel a little while ago during Pride, and we were talking about just the representation and how the whole dynamic of we have to hire people for the role that is written, meaning if it's a gay person, you have to hire a gay person. If it's this, you have to hire that. And I was like, yes, we needed that, but kind of like what you're saying, mm-hmm. now you're not allowing us to break free and we're creatives, we're mm-hmm. actors. Like, let us play other characters as well.
Yes.
And it's always with societies that are trying to rectify a wrong. They swing too far in one side of the pendulum, and then it swings too far on the other. We really are in this, like, super volatile mm-hmm. back and forth, and it would be really nice to be alive and working when the pendulum slows down and mm-hmm. things are more even, because you're right. Like, you deserve the right to play any character that you put your mind to. And the representation comes on the red carpet, not necessarily on the screen.
I completely agree. And I think that's, if I'm a casting director, I feel like non-binary would be something that you would just fucking tack on the end of anything. Like, you know, if I were a casting director, I feel like I wouldn't be so scared to be able to be like non-binary / mask mm-hmm. if I was also going out to men mm-hmm. or non-binary to femme, also going mm-hmm. out for, you know, cis women. Like, I asked my team a while ago, my team was sending me these roles where, like, you know, I think they were trying to be like, you know, you could still play, you know, women if you wanted to. And I was like, 100%. Like, I know that, and I'd be happy to play the right woman. But, like, if you're sending me just kind of, like, by way of, you know, needing to send an email like this for the secretary, no one's believing that I'm the hot 23-year-old secretary of, like, an older man.
I don't know who you are.
Mr. Johnson, I got your papers.
But you went to 1920s
America. That's what the fuck I'm telling you. That's what the fuck I'm telling you. I can't do it.
You could give some kind of Maggie Gyllenhaal energy, though.
Mr. Johnson.
I can do it.
You could do it.
I can't do
that. What was that voice?
I'm telling you, I just haven't had enough coffee.
Oh my God, wait, I see it now. It's the coffee.
Right now.
It's sick.
No. It's like, who was the woman who played Popeye's Shelley Duvall?
Yes.
You could be Shelley Duvall.
Okay, wait. Maybe I could do this.
You can. Because that's the same kind of energy that she had. And so, I know you were being funny about it, but that's
Shelley Duvall, honestly, that's a fun one.
She
was the original non-binary person in all of the movies. Okay, so I understand what you're saying, because uh-huh. the other day I got an audition for the lead cheerleader that was like making fun of something, and I was in the kitchen. So and I was like, babe, she was like, don't do this role. I was like, babes, I think I could. She's like, I don't think that fits. And I'm like, it's interesting, because back before COVID, back before anything, put me in heels and a wig and I'd probably slaughter it. You know what I mean? Yeah. But there is a change in my whole entire body that, like, coming up, I have to do a role mm-hmm. where I'm playing the wife of a man. And I'm growing out my hair for it and everything. And I'm like, okay, this is just, am I an actress or am I a comedian? Like, this is going to be really difficult. Mm-hmm. But I'm also not going to play her as overtly sexually feminine in that way.
Yeah.
I think that there's going to be a cool, like, balance between just what I am and then pushing my titties up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
For that. But I don't know why I said that, because I'm just...
You're relating.
Oh, that's what I'm doing.
I know what you mean, though. It's like... You know, I think at this point, to a certain degree, there are types of femininity that would look like, if I did them, like I was putting on a costume mm-hmm. in an offensive way. Like, it would look like bad drag.
Yeah.
And there are other types of femininity that I'm like, oh, that registers to me. Mm-hmm. I think I can do that still. Mm-hmm. You know, like I feel really comfortable within a range, but there is I think if I were going to, like, maybe get even more specific without trying to future pigeonhole myself, I think femininity exclusively for the male gaze, I can't do.
That's fair.
I was just watching...
That's fair.
Cinderella. I don't want to burn anybody's ass, but I think it was Cinderella. I don't know. The one where she talks to the rats and the pumpkin.
Yeah, that's Cinderella.
It's that one.
Okay.
I don't like that they made those rats so big. That was fucked up. It was live action. And that lizard. My God.
Wait, I just will stop right now. Which one did you see?
It was real humans doing it.
It was on Kate television? Blanchett.
Oh no.
This phone has been really working this episode.
Yeah, it has.
Wait, Kate Blanchett was in a Cinderella
movie? Yes, she played the evil stepmother. This is not Snow White, right? This is...
Oh, no, you're talking about that evil one.
Yeah, yeah, I love Kate Blanchett. Yeah. Kate Blanchett, that type of femininity, I do understand.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
And that also, but Kate Blanchett has been rumored, I don't know, to be on a spectrum.
I think that Kate Blanchett is so ethereal Cinderella. That to say she was anything would be ridiculous. Yeah.
Cinderella.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's the one that I saw, and I recognized that, okay, for example, that would be a thing that would be an impossibility, right? Like, no one's going to cast me to play Cinderella, and it's not because I'm disrespectfully can't play women. It's because I was literally watching her do that dancing sequence. They do, like, dancing in the ballroom for what feels like 100 minutes. And they're looking into each other's eyes. And one, she's so graceful and so unembarrassed and is pretending, acting like she's like attracted to this man. And I was like, that's outside the scope of my ability to act.
You could be her prince.
I could 100% have been her prince and been dancing around. I could, and I would have liked that.
You could have been the evil sister.
Yeah, I would have liked that. And I would have even been fine being a fucking godmother. But I couldn't, I don't think I would be that good right now at pretending to adore a mediocre man.
Period.
That's hard to do in life. In real life or pretend life.
Yeah, I have found that almost every woman in Hollywood feels that that's doable.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to.
I'm dead.
In a non-mediocre way. Please go into this pot and tell us what we're talking about.
Non-mediocre?
Yeah, non-mediocre.
Shook up. Yeah, you can come back. That shit's hilarious.
Thank you.
What Today, am I doing with this? You're going to tell us what's on that. In 3, 2, 1, go. What are we talking about?
Accidents. Why did I almost say bananas?
Ooh, interesting.
It's accidents and bananas. That was because it was an accident. There you go. You accidentally almost said bananas when you looked at accidents.
Bad.
So accidents, ER. You know, we all make them. Something that happens. And there are some really universal accidents, like we
peeing on yourself.
Yeah, you pee on yourself a little bit. Yeah. You accidentally take a pen from a store when you're right. Okay, simple things. But, a less universal accident is becoming a meth addict because you think that you're taking good speed, but it's really just
okay,
meth.
And I've apologized.
Whoa, what? No.
And that's just, you know, no judgment here. It's just, that's a wild accident to make.
And mind you, I did not, folks, become an addict to the meth. I didn't like meth very much.
Yeah.
I did accidentally take meth. Or do meth.
Just
whatever.
Once?
Well, twice.
Okay. Accidentally twice.
The first time was so bad that I was like, maybe I did some bad meth. And then, you're not going to believe this. Meth is just bad.
Yeah. You know what? I heard that.
Yeah, meth is not fun. Meth is bad.
That's fair. Do you have any residual meth
reverberations? Oh, I mean...
No, seriously, because you know sometimes when you take drugs, it sits in the system for longer than you think. You have any like flashbacks of your meth
This was in accident? Amsterdam, right?
This was in Amsterdam. I did... Yeah, I just think there were a little bit of a language barrier. I didn't really understand some differences between some things. And, you know, I was, like, 22. I was trying fucking everything.
Pass the salt. They're like, meth?
I mean, we were having a time in Amsterdam. And we were on a lot of drugs. It was actually quite insane. It was insane. So... I don't have any, as I turn this into, like, the smallest square
Would
possible.
Would you like a fidget?
Yeah. Ooh. No, I had a great time, and the the meth was so fucking bad that I like actually I came home after Amsterdam and was like, I think I'm really good on hard drugs. Like I really didn't after 22, I was pretty well behaved.
Good
like,
for you.
I think I got a lot of partying out in that my like very beginning of my 20s, like 20 to 24 even. Mm-hmm. And then I just was like, I feel like I did it harder than anybody else. I think I'm good now.
Yeah. And you, were you famous then? Were you worried about anything?
And thank God. I was like just doing comedy at the time, and which is why I was in Amsterdam in the first place. And so, yeah. And there was, it was funny. Like even as a 22-year-old, I still had this like weird ethics of like, you don't do drugs before a show. You never do a show drunk. Like, you know, you don't show up to your rehearsals drunk. So yeah. There's all these things where I was like able to convince my undeveloped prefrontal lobe that I was like being responsible. And then you are realizing that you're like gradually becoming meaner and meaner to everyone in your life, and that you are like you went there 22 but now you look 45. And like so
meth will do that to
you. So
I don't even know what life is because
there was
a man who was arrested for possession of meth. Mm-hmm. And what it actually was the crumble of glazed donuts on Krispy Kreme that had fallen onto his floor. So he loves Krispy Kreme. And this man would go and he'd get a bunch of them, eat them. And then, of course, it gets like flaky. He gets pulled over. They do an inspection in the car. And the cops then arrest him because they're like, we found crystal meth on your floor. And he was like, no, I just don't have time to vacuum. That's actually dust from my Krispy Kreme glazed donut.
I'm not surprised because sugar is as addictive.
And then they said that they tested it and it tested positive for meth. And then there's so like, what is life? Is Krispy Kreme meth? And is that man like meant to be arrested for doing meth? And are we all meth addicts unknowingly because we're sugar addicts? Like
I'm kind of, what I'm hearing is that man was doing meth. And maybe he had a donut as well.
I don't know.
I don't want to, you know, shit talk this man. I obviously do not judge, but that sounds like meth and a donut.
And donut. Because are you hungry after meth?
No.
Is it like weed?
It really, you're the horniest you've ever been, but in a not fun way. Like cat in heat.
Oh, God.
Ew.
Yeah, ew is right. Where you're like, where you wake up the next day and you're like, no, not him. No.
You want to
no.
like claw yourself.
And it's always the person that you're like, I literally hate them. Mm. That on meth, your brain's like, them. Like, oh meth is the worst. It's the worst.
It's really bad.
It's the worst.
Mm. Yeah, okay. If I've never done meth, I wouldn't know. I haven't really done any hard drugs, to be honest. I haven't made any of those accidents.
It's true.
What is a hard drug, though?
I mean, heroin,
like Advil,
meth. Yeah. Tylenol.
Tylenol. Well, now.
Now. Yeah. Definitely. Explains so much.
Any LA party drugs?
No. No, yeah. I was not a coke person.
Your skin's nice.
Makes sense.
She really cares about her skin.
I really
and her
care
health.
About my skin. But I think the reason is I had so much anxiety as a kid that I turned to food as my coping mechanism very young. And then by the time I would have gotten into like experimenting with drugs and alcohol, I was so anxious and felt so alien in my body already that any substance that could maybe exacerbate that scared the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. And I really think if I had done coke, like my resting heart rate was so high, I would have like launched actually into outer space. So I just never tried.
Yeah.
Any of it.
I it's not something that I would like warn a young person never to do. And it's not something I would encourage a young person to do.
Yeah.
Like I'm really kind of pro go be your own asshole for the first part of your 20s because you're like finally free. You have to make some mistakes. The mistakes are going to give you the empathy later. Like it makes it much easier not to judge people because I was such a hot mess. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I still feel like I tried my best to be a good person. So I have that frameworking of like when I hear that, you know, I would say kids, but young people in my life are having a hard time or out of control. It's so easy for me to have grace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And step in like a non-judgmental way. And I don't think I'd have the same level of that if I hadn't been such a little shit fuck.
Did you make other accidents during this time?
Oh, my God. Yes, I did.
Yes,
I tell did. I did. I made some mistakes.
But. With other people, with yourself.
You can be generalized,
but also specific.
Well, I think I was pretty active.
Okay.
I was pretty active, and so I know I hurt some feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also like hyper and free and out of Ohio, you know, really, really, truly out of Ohio. And so I was doing stuff like at like 3 o'clock in the morning, like climbing, you know, those like 8-story cranes that are in the middle of construction site, like going up there
to look out.
Wow.
To
and
listen
perch.
To music on our cell phones while we chain smoke cigarettes.
Yeah. Like, oh, you're a
just
badass.
Living.
And we were out of our minds. And then, I'm so lucky I'm not dead.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm so lucky I'm not dead.
It's like Crazy Beautiful, that movie. It gives me like that vibe.
I haven't seen anything is what I'm
That's
finding
fine.
Out.
It's just like being young and reckless and crazy and
young,
doing,
fun, and dumb.
Yeah.
Thanks, Khalid.
Young, fun, dumb, and full of cum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What about you, babes? Any big mistakes or accidents that you've partaken in? Partook?
You know, accidentally, I hit my brother upside the head with a tennis racket.
Accidentally.
That was an accident. Mm-hmm. He walked up to me and I was swinging. So technically that's his fault.
Uh-huh.
Love you, Blaze. and then accidents... I'm really thinking about it. I'm sure I made some, but none as cool as y'all's because I have always had to watch out about what I was doing and choices that I make because I was
sore on.
Always on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I made an accident, it was in a small, small group of people that I was just like, I'm gonna be honest.
What about on-set accidents? Like, do you remember props falling or things going wrong?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I made a lot of accidents that way where I fall and, like, I accidentally fell off a Segway. Like, you know what I mean? Shit like that, but...
No, pause.
A hoverboard, actually.
How was it?
It was great. And then
It resulted in surgery and metal plates in her wrist.
Yes.
Oh, man. No, that sucks ass.
It does. And it was purely because the boy who was saying, you can't get on it. You're too old. I was like, did you just call me old? I get on it. I'm like 200 and something pounds. I get on this hoverboard.
No.
They're so dangerous.
During lunch, between episodes... And I fall, break my wrist. My wrist is, like, flimsy. And then my ass was, like, walking around, like, I think I need to go to the hospital. And a mother comes up to me, and she's like, Raven, I need you to take a picture with the crew. And I was like, not right now. She said, stop being that way. Come on, we got to take a picture. And I was like, I really don't want to. Raven, come on. I was like, okay, fine. Literally, just like this. Smiling, because I have a hard time with people not, with me saying no to people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then at the same time, I was on Masked Singer. So my next performance, I was in a cast. And then it was, listen.
So this little boy.
Isaac Ryan Brown.
Isaac says
fuck shit up.
Isaac says, you can't do this, you're old. You say, watch me. You shatter your fucking arm. And then you have to show everybody your shattered arm on TV. Man,
yeah, because
if that ain't getting older.
I'm not backing down.
I totally get it. I feel honestly like props to you for going to the hospital. I'd be walking in here with a little right angle arm right now. Nobody would know.
It was bad. I couldn't move my fingers. Nope. Like, there was a whole thing. I also, that was really bad. The accident, you know, I've peed on myself before. You guys, let's just be honest. That's the only accident that I can really have where I laugh a little and just a little squirts.
Wait. Oh, okay. That type. Not like pee in sleep. Pee in your bed.
I've done that.
Wet yourself.
Over the age of 25.
Ah. Bad dream?
No, just a comfy one, you know, where it's like...
You're in the water.
Feels so good.
I have had those dreams where I am peeing in my dream and then I wake up like, oh my God, I have to pee so badly. You know, like that has happened to me.
But have you actually peed?
A little.
Just a little.
Just a little.
Are you gonna acknowledge
like,
this?
These fucking bedwetters.
I can't remember recently peeing.
That's fair.
It's not a big thing of mine. But listen, I've got other, you know, things that
you
are embarrassing.
Meth.
Exactly. Please, mine is meth, and yours is like, I pee when I'm comfortable.
We peed
like,
a little
it's
bit.
Fine.
We peed a little bit.
It's fine. In their own ways, they're equal.
Oh, hilarious. Have you been in a car accident?
Yeah. I have been in a car accident. I got hit by a semi-truck.
What the
Yeah, I got hit by a semi-truck. He thought I was trying to cut him off, but his hazards were on. And he was going very slowly, so I went to go around him, and he got really offended by that. And so he sped up, and he drove over the front part of my car, and then he just continued driving for, like, 30 yards. And then the car was totaled, but then he ran off. And so I was like, well, if it's totaled and I'm not dead, I'm going to go get him. So I followed him.
Oh, you followed him. You turned black.
Yeah.
Like you blacked out. I mean, you blacked out.
They turned real black.
No, I can't say it, but I certainly did. Yep. And I got him out of his car and I was screaming. And yep. That was the last accident I got in. It really fucking sucked. He called his whole family to stand by the side of the road and film me with a cell phone because...
Wow. Because he ran over you and then you whooped ass?
After he hit me and I finally got him to stop because I just was like, not gonna stop. He was like, you cut me off. And I was like, your fucking hazards were on. And he's like, my hazards aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went around, he got back in his car, he got out, he got a cell phone. And then people just started showing up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I love men. I love men. I am such a huge fan of men when they are using their camaraderie and their privilege to make things easier for people, like each other and only each other. And the guy that showed up for me, I called AAA, not the police. I called AAA because I ain't no bitch.
Mm.
And, AAA showed up and went and talked to the truck driver and then came back and I was like, yes, this fucking sucks. Like, can we just get as much information from his, like, company as we can so it's not on his, like, personal liability insurance? And I was furious. I know I was mad. And the dude went, you know what? He's actually a really good guy.
The AAA person said that?
The AAA person that I called after a 30-second talk with the dude came back to me in my smashed-ass car. And was like, can you calm down? He's actually a really good guy.
And then you went black.
I blacked out. And now I'm straight because I loved that experience so much that I was like, I got to be around this more often. These guys, the way that they stand up for each other, it's like.
It is priceless. It is, but like, obviously terrifying. You're being funny, but the way that men will stand by each other and the way that women will not.
Well,
straight women will not. Do it.
But it's for the same reason, because it's men have the ability to empathize with other men, and women have been trained to only have the ability to empathize with other
men.
Yeah, and so it's like, especially with white women, you've got all that like proximity to white women that's like going to keep us safe.
Mm-hmm.
If we can be one of the boys. And then, of course, it doesn't. Like,
never. They are using you.
And the most dangerous thing that you can do is live with a man that you love.
Oof.
That is like the number one reason that women die.
Yeah.
So, good luck to everyone.
You know what's
That's a massive accident, I guess.
It's a massive accident.
Just like marrying a man you love. Big accident.
I've always thought about that, though, because I remember when I was kind of toying with the fact of what my future is going to look like before I totally settle down and the truth of what my life will be. I was like, I don't know if I could live with a man for the rest of my life.
Mm.
I lived with a father and a brother, and I was like, this is not what I want.
Mm-mm.
And that was one of the other things that popped into my head that was like, no, I think I'm gay. Because straight people don't have to go through this. But when you're gay and you do not have a lot of role models or titles like you were saying earlier, you have a lot of conversations in your head about what life looks like, about how to act and how to be and what your life can look like, whether it's not marrying your woman and living with your best friend forever. That's a 90s thought process, or coming out when you're 60, whatever that is. But one of mine was really like, can I live in a house with a man knowing good and well that if I say something bad or if I disagree, their power can be used so aggressively because I've seen it in other families, mm-hmm. on top of the fact that they smell. But, like, it's just a lot of things that came to my brain when that happened. And it's right. It's very dangerous sometimes.
Well, and I think that I don't know that I have, in that same way that I couldn't be, like, Cinderella, like, dancing around, being like, you know, this is awesome. I think when men raise their voice at me, I have always just raised my voice back. Mm. And I don't feel that way with women. So, you know, it's like, I'm not yelling at my mom. I'm not yelling at my partners. And if a single man says anything to me, I'm fully like, listen up, fucker. And it's like zero. So I know that I couldn't be somebody's wife. Like, mm-hmm. I just absolutely couldn't do it because we would kill each other. We both die in the home. But it turns out that actually there is no way to do it because we are learning that, like, femicide is mostly women being killed by the men that they love or men in their family. And so it turns out that actually it's just safer to become militant and be gay.
There is not an agenda.
Yeah, no agenda. And the government's not going to like this, but I think they already know who I am.
You know what's interesting is when you talk about tells of in your sexuality in young ages, something that I recognized was that I felt so much more safe around women. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't physical. Like, I didn't feel like I was going to be hurt physically by a man, but I felt safe in the sense of women embraced me. They wanted to hear what I had to say. When I was around a group of guys, even if it was like my friend's older brothers or whatever, I was always the butt of the joke. I always felt like I was being looked at and picked on because I wasn't as pretty as this other girl, and I should have looked this way, and therefore I'm going to be. And so my insecurity and kind of my own self-loathing was just magnified by these men, mm-hmm. and what they were telling me. And even though I had a pretty solid relationship with my father, a lot of his commentary about my appearance and what I should have acted like or been like really, really informed my relationship with myself, mm-hmm. and then how I moved forward in relationship with men. Like, I was terrified of dating guys. I wanted to be liked so desperately, and I was seeking this validation, but I could never achieve it because I'd cower. It was just, I don't know. It's just interesting to think about because I haven't really sat and thought about, I think, my relationship with men and why that is. I've just always felt less than around men.
I think, like, maybe a part of what you're exploring is, like, the relationship that you have with whatever gender that you end up with or whatever gender that you're, like, currently talking about. Let's just say we're talking about only men. My dad was a big feminist, and so he never really commented on my appearance, and he always kind of liked that I was rough and tumble, and he was always like, you know, nobody fucks with you. Like, you work hard, and you don't let anybody talk shit, and you're good to your people. And I was like, okay, great, I understand those things. And so I've been really lucky. I'm not attracted to men, unfortunately, but I've been really lucky to a lot of my guy friends are some of the fucking best guys on the planet because I'm looking for my dad.
Yeah.
And so I do think that And in the same way, you know, my dad would be like, if your mom's in the room, you know, I don't want to hear the words she. I want to hear mom. Like, there was so much respect for my mom. Mm-hmm. And I seek out women, and I think I respect them, you know. And I look for women that are, like, highly independent. And this is, they know what they want, all this stuff. And I think that I wish that men knew, and this is not even speaking to your dad anymore, but I wish men knew that the way that they raise their daughters is not, it's not just about how their daughters are going to interact with them. You are creating a lifetime of how this little girl is going to love.
1,000%.
And if you are raising a little gay daughter and you treat your wife like shit, you're still informing the way that that little girl is going to love. It's like it's sad that the way that we are connected is all predetermined by the way our parents treat us. Mm-hmm. And of course we can change things, but it is hard to unwire that. And I feel like we spent our whole 20s and 30s doing it.
100%.
And 40s.
Identifying the pattern, identifying what we were taught, and then having to unlearn to then relearn the way we want to be. And it does become these defining moments in our life and these chunks of time that we have to really spend to then become the person we want to be or figure out what it even feels like mm-hmm. to exist without those thought processes or those feelings about yourself. It's really, it's wild. And I remember just watching other fathers, like my friends with their dads, who were so positive about them. And I was like, I longed for it. Mm-hmm. You know, just seeing a dad that was like looking at his daughter and was like, you're beautiful. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't even know really what that would have felt like to receive. I don't know. It was just, it was eye-opening, I guess, in a lot of ways.
And it makes it hard to receive, too. I like, there's a little bit more of your brain, like, if you're not raised with it, that, like, then when you do receive it, there's a little bit more, like, what the fuck is this?
1,000%.
Are you trying to trick me? Like, what's going on? Is, like, humiliation coming?
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, yeah, it's really difficult.
And, we totally, because that's so spot on. It's, I'm waiting for what follows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you're really pretty, but you'd be 10 times better if. Like, I'm waiting for that thing to come and sucker punch me.
I literally tell her she's pretty, and then I say, but if you make me an egg tart,
you'll be even more pretty.
And I say, you got it, honey. I'll just get into the kitchen where I belong.
You want an egg tart or an egg sweet?
I want to say to all the guys that are in our life now, friends, uncles, like, we love you, but we'll never be in a relationship with you.
Or do we?
Or doing. No, no, no. But we love our friendship
circle. Our good
circle.
Men.
There are good men out there.
Best friend in the world is a great, great man. And those really, really, really good men are keeping the world running.
That part. And I just want to shine a light on the good men out there that understand what we're talking about, that the girl dads out there that are really raising beautiful women for this new generation, for those men that are taking care of their lesbian, non-binary sisters out there and really taking care of us. We're not shit talking you. We're shit talking all the other ones.
Yeah.
Period.
Mm-hmm. They know who they are.
Just making sure you guys know that.
Let's toast, you guys.
Guys, wait. Whoopee.
Whoops.
We whoop out.
Cheers. Today on the podcast, we're toasting to the ozone layer.
Yes, ozone layer.
The hole in the ozone layer is slowly closing. Just like Raven's eyes, they're getting better. A result of the global phase out of ozone depleting substances under the Montreal Protocol. While year-to-year variations occur, the Antarctic ozone has been improving since the year 2000, and current policies are on track for the ozone layer to recover to 1980 levels by around 2066 over the Antarctic. We won't be here to see that.
We will. I am so proud of us. I remember in middle school when they were teaching us about the ozone layer and that it's opening slowly, about the year 2025 we're going to be all dead. Like, this is happening in my middle school. And
good middle school.
Thank you, Montreal, and whatever men decided to stay in whatever pact so that we could actually make it here. Like, all of the efforts, all of those disgusting ass pasta straws, all of those us buying Priuses, which whatever, we thank you for the efforts, because we are going to live to see a few more years.
The pasta straws.
Can I pitch a different headline? Men, stop using plastic. The ozussi is tighter.
That's it. That's
just
literally
to make it more, you know, fun. That's good news.
That, yeah. You did that, ER.
Thank you.
ER, thanks, you guys. So much.
No, thank you.
For being on this podcast.
I appreciate it.
It finally happened.
Yeah.
So excited for us. Where can we find you?
Up in that ozussi. Where can you find me? I'm so sorry. Now I'm in the ozussi.
Yeah.
You can find me on TikTok or as ER Fightmaster, Chandela Scapan on Instagram. You can find me for my music at Fightmaster, anywhere you get your music. And you can listen to my sports podcast, Jocular.
Ooh, Jocular.
Yep, Jocular. Spelled Jocular. With a K.
Joctacular.
Yep.
Thank you so much for watching Tea Time with Raven and Miranda. Great. I laughed the whole entire time. If you did, don't forget to leave a comment of where you laughed, especially in that ozussi. And
all the way. Go all the way into the ozussi.
Go all the way in, as far as you can.
She's tighter. Like the bell.
How dare you? I need you to like, subscribe, and don't forget to comment. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next week.
Yes.